It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
Woo!
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show. Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet!
It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
It was so cool. Every time I hear that, it was so cool when Hulk Hogan did that in our interview. That was awesome. Welcome to the Chris Van Vliet Show, coming into your ears right now, however and wherever you might be listening. And I appreciate you hanging out with us and the interesting guests that we've been having. This episode is no different, my friends. You'll know Dasha Fuentes as a backstage interviewer from WWE, but she is so much more than that. She was actually hired as a wrestler and started her career as a superstar in training before transitioning into the role of ring announcer and then interviewer. She got a lot of criticism for being the Dasha bot and sounding robotic when she did her interviews. And I'm not making fun of her. She does that in the interview herself. You'll see. Okay. She's very aware of that. We talk about it. It's all good. Before we get to all that good stuff, the Chris Van Vliet Show is brought to you by Green Roads, and you've heard a lot about CBD, and for me, it's been such a game changer. Green Roads has the best ingredients because they're a pharmacist-founded company that's focused on making the lives of their customers better. Their CBD oil, gummies, tea, cream, capsules, their other stuff, the CBD oil for pets, it's all great. It's the real deal. Use my code CHRIS15 to get 15% off your order of CBD products at greenroads.com. The Chris Van Vliet Show also brought into your ears from the mics and cables and mixers from Samson Technologies. They have very affordable audio solutions, and their headphones that I'm wearing, they're awesome. I'm hearing myself in them. But, I mean, that's obviously the point here. They're great, though. Samson Tech is where you can see their entire lineup. So Dasha lives in Orlando. I live in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It's like a 3-ish hour drive. And Dasha happened to be taking a trip to Miami for an event with her husband. And they were passing right through Fort Lauderdale on the way. So we wanted to do this interview. And I'm like, that is perfect timing. It was meant to be. It's actually the first interview I've ever done inside my house. So if you want to be creepy, you can watch the interview on my YouTube channel and see what the interior of my house looks like. And just because I have a grand piano doesn't mean I'm good at playing it. But I do play it, just not well. Dasha Fuentes is so charismatic, so full of personality that we didn't get to see on TV. So please enjoy this chat with the one and only Dasha Fuentes.
Were we dancing here?
We're dancing.
All right.
I like to dance. I like to have a good time.
Oh, well, welcome to my house.
Thank you. Your gorgeous house.
Well, thank you. I've actually never done an interview here, so yeah.
I'm the first.
You're the first.
I'm honored.
This is the first that, you know, people are getting a look inside my house. Yeah.
Letting them in.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for making this happen.
No, thank you for making this happen.
Okay. Well, you know, the true story is like you came down here from Orlando. Like
yeah.
I'm usually doing the reverse. I'm usually driving 3 hours to Orlando to make this happen. So thank you for, you know, coming to my home.
Happy to come here. Thank you for welcoming me in.
And I think that, you know, anyone that's following you on Instagram probably saw the video about a month ago. You're officially not with WWE anymore.
Yes, that is correct. Fortunately, we have parted ways.
How are you feeling about this?
I actually feel really good. You know, I usually, it was a shock to me being let go by them, but it's not the end of the world. It's crazy because I dedicated 5 years of my life to them.
Yeah.
And you stop to think, and I was injured last year for a good chunk of it. I got injured July 27th and had surgery August 3rd. And I still managed to have and work over 115 shows.
How does a backstage interviewer get injured?
Well, I have another life other than WWE. And actually,
yeah.
A lot of people don't know,
yeah,
or they do know
true.
That I started as a wrestler. Mm-hmm. And I was a swimmer, diver, national competitive gymnast, competed in Marine Corps, JROTC in school, and I'm always very active. Prior to getting signed by WWE, I had my own personal training company, so that's one thing. I'm like, just because I'm a backstage interviewer on TV and I'm a host and announcer at live events doesn't mean that the camera doesn't see how you look. You still have, you look at Byron Saxton, okay? The man is jacked. He is ripped. So you have to look aesthetically pleasing even as an interviewer. So, you know, and you never know. I used to always tell them all the time, I can take a bump. let somebody
true.
Take me out.
Yeah.
If I accidentally take them out, I gotta be in top optimal physical conditioning in order to hold the microphone.
So you got hurt in the gym? Is that what
yeah,
happened?
Yeah, I was working out at the performance center and I was like really pumping iron, getting ready for like a fitness competition because I wanted to do something for me and I wasn't listening to my body and it's always on the last one.
Always.
The last one.
Well, it has to be the last one because you end up getting injured afterwards.
Yes, this is true. No, actually, I stood up and kept walking, kind of going. Yeah, it felt a little weird, but I think that's the gymnast in me. You don't feel the pain, you just kind of push through and you just keep on going. I mean, that's what the wrestlers do in the ring and stuff like that. And a lot of people don't know, I wasn't just an interviewer on TV. There's a handful of us that actually are host and announcers for live events. We don't just show up to TV and possibly do stuff at the studio once a week and that's it. We literally work live events Friday, Saturday, Sunday, TV Monday, come back Tuesday if you work for Raw, and shows Saturday, Sunday, Monday, TV Tuesday for SmackDown.
So is this kind of like a blessing in disguise? Your schedule's not nearly as crazy now?
I like to view it that way. I'm an optimist. So I truly enjoyed working for the company, being able to travel to 47 out of 50 states. Wow. I got to see all sorts of different towns that I'd never even imagined. I never imagine I'd ever go to New Mexico or Phoenix or Washington State. I was born and raised in Orlando, Florida. Lived within a 10-mile radius my entire life. Went to school at UCF, like did everything there. So it was pretty crazy. My first taxi ride, my first train ride, my first flight over the Atlantic Ocean was all with WWE. So I like to look back at all of the experiences that I had with them over any of the negative that could have happened.
I think it's important to know which three states you didn't go to.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. I'm still a little bitter about this because when we had the tour where we went to Alaska, originally it was scheduled for SmackDown to go to Alaska. Last minute, they changed it to Raw. Mike Rome, yeah, that's you. You got to go to the North Pole and I didn't get to go. Thanks a lot, man. And then they were posting pictures and stuff like that all over everywhere.
Of course.
See it. And then the second one, SmackDown went to this place. But at the time, they weren't sending two hosts and announcers. Greg Hamilton got to go to Hawaii and I didn't get to go. It's okay. He is the ring announer for SmackDown Live, but I still didn't get to go to Hawaii. And then
those are the freak states though.
Yeah, but
Alaska and Hawaii.
I was so pumped to go.
Well, you can go now.
But in hindsight, they can say, "Well, we didn't speak Spanish, so we didn't get to go to Argentina and Chile and Peru and Panama and Puerto Rico and
all
these other places."
Wow.
I don't know, it just comes out.
Jeez.
And then the last one.
Okay.
For some reason, what do you think it is? If you had to guess.
If I had to guess.
Yeah, it's a very rare state that probably a lot of people don't visit unless you're going to go ski.
Wyoming.
No.
You've been to Wyoming?
Yeah.
I haven't even met a person that's been to Wyoming.
Oh, it was cool. Beautiful. It was gorgeous.
Where else would you not go?
It's on the east side.
Delaware.
Oh, everyone's been there. What are you talking about?
Okay.
It starts with a V.
Vermont?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone's been to Vermont.
Not me. Not yet. Oh, Vermont, right. I'm coming for you.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's so amazing hanging out with you because you do have so much personality.
Thank you.
That we didn't see on TV.
I promise people I am not a robot. Coolest thing I have ever seen. Somebody took the time out. Whoever you are, I hope you're watching this. They took the time out. It was an interview I did with Shinsuke Nakamura. They literally changed my skin color silver and they put a voice modulator.
Oh, no.
So it was like, "Shinsuke Nakamura, how are you feeling about this?" It was the coolest thing and I can't find it. I saw it on Twitter and somebody needs to like retweet it to me or something.
Wow.
I literally died. Died when I saw it, but it's crazy.
What's the instruction that's given to you so that you sound like you have zero personality on TV?
Well, that's the thing. It's trying to oddly find that balance of not showing too much personality, which as you can see, it kind of got a little bit of it, and showcasing the talent. Because at the end of the day, it's about the talent and what it is that they have to say. They don't want us to skew any opinions or create or form any biases about what's going on. So for me, it's the hard part because I'm the type of person that's like, it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
Either you get all of this or you get hello, thank you.
Which is so interesting because if you went into an interview and an audition with them and you were like, I'm really happy to be here. Thank you. You'd never get the job.
No.
So how is it like that you can show off personality, show off charisma, and then once you get the job, they're like, all right, just dial that down.
You know what? I don't know what goes on in their minds up there. One day something is 100% what they want, then the next day they wake up on the other side of the bed or a butterfly flaps its wings and this butterfly effect happens and it completely changes. So it's one of those things you have to take any sort of criticism or critique that you get with a grain of salt and just know and be flexible. And that was kind of one of the hard parts for me. Like, I'm a kinesthetic, concrete, sequential learner. Like, I love schedules. I like this being a certain way. Like, even today, I was like, I'm 30 minutes out. I'm 10 minutes yes. out. I'll see you in five. I'm pulling in. Like, that's just the type of person that I am, just out of respect to other people. So that was one of the hardest things for me is, and it was a blessing because now I'm a little bit more flexible and stuff like that. Because before I'd be like, that's not on the schedule. This is not the way that this is. And like, I would get all bent out of shape. And I was just, I got to the point where I was like, yeah, whatever you want. Just let me know. Just tell me right before.
Yeah. You became a company person.
Yeah. I was learning, you know, because Rome wasn't built in a day. It takes a little bit of time. And like I was saying, like I started as a wrestler. My dream was to be a superstar. And then I was given the opportunity to host and announce and build this other body of work and hone my craft in a different way. And I wanted to wear so many different hats within the company. So if in the event they needed me to, I could just do whatever. I could
sure.
do whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
I was just happy to be there. And so that was, for me, one of the hardest parts, being let go, because it felt like I dedicated seriously 5 years of my life to this company. And then it was just like, I got thrown away like a piece of trash. I got erased off of .com. I was like, Dasha Fuentes never existed. And that was, for me, the hardest thing, just because I was so passionate about what I did. And I built so many great relationships. And I built, as you know, Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, always said, this body of work. And it felt like they just wanted to pretend like it never happened.
Who was it that reached out to you to let you know that they were letting you go?
Oh, my manager at the time. My manager. I don't really want to say too many names.
Sure.
But my manager called me, and that was another thing too. They called me on a Tuesday, and I was told, after the events that occurred on Monday Night Raw, we are taking you off TV and you're not going to WrestleMania.
I literally
went back, I watched the interview. There was a tiny little blip that happened, but it was live, it was with Roman, and I figured it was a pretty good interview, and I could see the growth and consistency that was happening from week to week. And I was like, series of events? And I literally was just taken aback. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to just relax, not freak out about this, you know, not a big deal. Maybe they're going to send me back to NXT, because a lot of people don't know I ring announced for NXT. Mm-hmm. And that's my passion. I loved ring announcing. And so I was like, okay, no big deal. I'll have a week to relax. And I was told, you'll be called next week, and we'll figure out the game plan of what's going on. Well, the following Monday after Mania, I got a phone call, literally lasted like a minute and a half. And they just called me and said, we're letting you go.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, well, thanks for 5 years.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And you know, you're not the first person to tell me a story like that. And it's crazy how just when they're done, they're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no hard feelings. No hard feelings at all. Because like I told you, it was a blessing working for them. But at the same time, it's like, I also put in time, effort, and dedication and gave you my all. So for me, that was like I was just saying, the only thing for me that was just like the biggest like punch in the gut was just trying to be erased.
Is there something that you didn't accomplish in WWE that you look back on and go, oh, I wish I had a chance to do that?
Oh, debuting as a wrestler, either on NXT, Raw, SmackDown, any of them, because that's what I went there for.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people don't know, in my group, it's pretty crazy, about half of the people are left there. I was in the same tryout as Nia Jax.
Okay.
And Dash Wilder. Who else was in my class? Riddick Moss. Drake, the ref in NXT.
Huh.
I think, who else was there? In our orientation session, Finn Balor was there, but he didn't start till a couple months after, but he was in orientation. So it was pretty crazy to think, out of my tryout, which happened December 12th, 13th, 14th of 2013, they selected 4 females and only 2 were left. And it was Nia Jax and I.
Wow.
And then the crazy thing is, Sarah Stock, Dark Angel, as a lot of people know her in the indies, she was in our tryout. She actually had a match in our tryout. She didn't get signed, unfortunately, but then she came back as an agent.
Yeah.
2 or 3 years later.
Yeah.
So it was like weird full circle kind of,
yeah,
about that.
And so how did you find out about the tryout? Had you been working indie shows? Had you been training at all?
No. So
yeah.
A lot of people won't like how I got, like, I used to watch wrestling and stuff like that casually as a fan during the Attitude Era. My mom is extremely conservative, so I wasn't allowed to watch any of that.
Same here.
But we'd play hooky from church, and we'd watch, like, reruns with my dad and stuff like that, and we'd pretend we'd have, like, Sunday Night SmackDown, and, like, I was watching Total Divas one day, and I always wanted a profession where I could be physically fit and active. I could be a positive role model to both men, women, children of all ages, and WWE was just there. So I actually was working out at the gym one day, and I saw a gentleman who I knew was a pro wrestler in the indies, and I asked him, Chasen.
Oh, I know Chasen.
Chasen, yeah. And I asked him, hey, Chasen, what does it take to be a wrestler, or, you know, work for WWE? And he's like, we'll go to WWERecruit.com, sign up a profile. He goes, no offense. He goes, it might be a little easier for girls. And he was brutally honest. It was great. He was like, no offense, it might be easier for girls, especially good looking ones like you. Not that he sounds like this, but I don't know why.
That's a good guy impression though.
But just upload your profile, put your pictures and this and that. Now I went totally hooked.
Just keep going. Yeah.
And so I did that. And I uploaded my profile, added my pictures, and I had a pretty impressive resume. I went to college, got my bachelor's degree, and competed in molecular biology and microbiology. And,
of course, yeah, as one does.
And then I played all sorts of sports, and I competed in pageants in the Miss America system to fund my undergraduate education. And so I had a pretty good-looking profile. Plus,
yeah,
I lived in Orlando already, so they didn't have to fly me in. And it was funny because I remember submitting it in August, the profile with all the pictures. I think they wanted, like, you know, a full body picture, headshot, whatever it was, a couple paragraphs of why you want to be a wrestler.
Superstar. Yeah.
My apologies. Yes.
Yeah,
why you want to be a superstar. My apologies. Yes.
Sports,
they are superstars,
yeah,
sports entertainers, not wrestlers. unless you work for AEW.
Ooh.
And they are professional wrestlers, right?
Yeah, this is true.
And so I uploaded that, and it was funny because my now husband, but my boyfriend at the time, he was like, hey, did you ever hear anything back from WWE?
Does he have the same guy voice as Chasen?
Yeah, they all do.
Yeah.
Dave's like, hi, I'm happy to be here. Maybe not that deep, I don't know. But he was like, did you ever hear anything back from them? And, like, he works in business in the industry. And I just remember him, like, he went on, like, super defensive mode. He's like, me as a manager, as somebody who works in this field, that would be silly. Obviously, he didn't use those choice words. I just don't like to curse. He was like, that would be silly if they didn't even give you a chance. It's not like they have to fly you in. They don't have to pay you. Like, I'm just looking at this from a business standpoint, and you would be a good person to bring in. And I was like, you're right. Thanks, hon. And I kid you not, it's like we put it in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a email from Canyon Seaman, like 2 days after he had mentioned this in August, and he was like, oh, we'd like to invite you to audition. Please respond to this if
he
you
has
would
a
like
different
to.
Voice. Yeah.
He's a little more, you know, Canyon, I don't know if you've ever met him.
No,
he's like 6'5", and he's very tall and very stoic. He played volleyball. And it was funny because I go to Chasen, and I was like, Chasen, you ever heard this dude named Canyon? Canyon Semen, and he was like, yeah, he's legit. And I was like, okay, because you never know these days random people. I trust nobody. And so I responded back, and then December 12, 13, 14, we did it. And
that was your first time ever getting in a ring?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. You should have been like, hey, Chasen, I'm going to have this tryout.
Well, I did. I like ran the ropes like once or twice.
Which is way more painful than people realize.
Tell me about it.
I trained for a couple months, and like the first time you hit the ropes, you're like,
I mean, you're being super dramatic. It's not that much. It hurt.
You wake up the next day and you have a giant welt.
Boys don't have the same pain tolerance as females do.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, y'all are wusses.
You're right. We can't have children.
Well, we did. It was funny because like the first 2 months that I trained, I literally had, because the top rope and the middle rope, no, not the top rope, sorry. The bottom rope and the middle rope, I'm vertically challenged. They hit me right in between my shoulder blades and then my glutes in the back. So it was funny because I showed my sister, I'm like, yeah, check this out. It's like black and purple.
And
literally like a meat tenderizer. Somebody was like hitting me and she's like, what are they doing to you? You need to stop that. You can't do this anymore. I'm like, man, it's cool. But everyone says it toughens up after a while. And it did. But shuffles, the arches of my feet, like the hardcore training drills that we did, like the hamburg rolls, like that's my jam. Like I'm an athlete. I loved every minute of being in the ring.
Does this mean we'll see you get back into the ring?
I hope so, but I'm still recovering from my Achilles rupture. I did quite a number on that. I had a complete oblique tear. So I like literally the doctor said, not to be graphic, but he's like, you know when you take a piece of chicken and you kind of like pull it apart? He's like, you did that on multiple levels, but just like oblique from like the, I went big. Then I went home.
You had to.
I went big, and that's how it's always been. And literally, he's like, I had to repair that thing. Like, yeah, really.
Well, so if that all heals up, and in a perfect world, would you like to get back in the ring?
Oh, I would love to. I'm not a spring chicken anymore, so I probably couldn't do the whole every single weekend, but I would love to have, you know, some matches here and there.
So what is your persona in the ring and what's your finishing move?
Ooh, has to be something aerial. I was a gymnast. I'd be like a luchadora. I remember when we were in NXT, I used to joke around with Kalisto all the time because we're actually the same height and kind of have similar body types. I was like, you're Kalisto and I am your twin sister, Kalista.
So you didn't get to a point in training where you had signature moves or a finish?
I did not know. I had a couple matches, and it's crazy that my last match was actually on my birthday at a PC show 3 years ago. So,
Who was it in
the PC? And it was a tag match. It was Nia Jax, who actually was in the process of getting her name, the name like Mia Kai or something like that, was tinkering. So that's what she was. And I don't know if people know, what was Britney's ring name? Devin Taylor. It was a tag match. It was Dasha and Carmella, and we were the baby faces, versus Mia Kai and Devin Taylor. And man, it was so funny because I got to watch it back and stuff like that, and silly Ricky mistakes of like, man, I get a leg drop and I'm like selling my back around and then I like get up too quickly and going for the hot tag like too quick. It was everyone that watches is like, for it being like one of your first matches, it wasn't bad. But I'm like, after now watching thousands of matches sitting ringside, because I was the ring announcer that didn't just like sit there, like I would sit there and I'd get into it, and like I truly loved my job. And I figured as a ring announcer sitting ringside, I'm equally as a part of the show as, you know, what is going on in the ring. And I feel like you could bring so much more to what's going on and make it seem more real if you're a part of it. And it was cool because I learned so much sitting on the sidelines. And I feel now if I were to get back into the ring, I now know a little bit more of the production side of it all. And I know a lot more of the psychology just from learning from the greats like AJ and Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, like, and Daniel Bryan, all those guys and girls too, from Naomi to Natalia, and just everyone that truly loves the business they're willing to share their knowledge with you as long as you're willing to be open to it. And it was pretty crazy because I remember one time I was at the Performance Center and Scott Dawson was there and I was training and I was like, man, I really can't wait to be in there. And he just gave me like the coolest compliment. He's like, when you finally make it in there, you'll be one of the greats.
Wow.
And I never, he goes, you're just so determined. Because I had asked him, because you know, sports entertainment, wrestling is all about respect. And like for me, I grew up with a Puerto Rican mom who, like, if you didn't show any respect, ella te daba vergüenza.
You'll have to translate this for us.
You know, she would give you un cocotazo, you tapa boca, you get put in place, essentially.
That's the gist of what I got there.
The fear, like, she didn't even have to say nothing. She never had to hit me or nothing. It was just the...
So you've got, that's where the respect came
from. Yeah, that's where the respect came from. So it was one of those things that, like, I always shook people's hands mm-hmm. and was very grateful. But also, too, for me, it was one of those, in order to get respect, you have to give respect. And I figured I wanted to immerse myself and learn as much about it because you see people like Scott Dawson, Dash Wilder, they truly love the business. And if they see that you are interested and you love it as well, they share all their knowledge with you. And then that internally just made me fall in love even more with the business. Now there's different aspects of it, but you know, at the end of the day, like, it's entertainment. It's cool. You get to be physically fit and active and throw yourself in the air and do things that you didn't dream were imaginable that, you know, you could do. You get to put people through an emotional roller coaster. Like, it's the coolest thing. And my husband would tell me all the time, he's like, I have a thankless job. He works in service. And he's like, people bring their cars in and they're angry. It's broken. They don't know what to do. And I get yelled at all day long. He's like, people pay to come see you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you have management that's, you know, harping on you to do certain stuff. He goes, but at the end of the day, people pay to see you. You guys put butts in seats.
Yeah.
And you give them an evening to forget whatever their problems are because they can just enjoy what's going on. And that is what I constantly reminded and told myself when I was tired of being on a European tour for 2 weeks or things like that. It's like, treat every show like it's that one little kid all the way up in the balcony. It's their first show.
Yeah.
It's the only show they'll probably ever get to see in their life. And even though they only see you like a little ant down there, they're going to remember it forever.
Yeah. So if it was your dream to wrestle, what was your reaction when you were told, we're going to take you out of the ring? We're still going to keep you employed, though.
That's a whole nother story. So what happened was at the time, Lillian, I believe, had like knee surgery. Brandy, who many know as Eden, she got moved up. And JoJo, who trained in the ring as well, and then was ring announcer.
And she was on top of
She was covering a lot of SmackDown. Pre-taped, because at the time it wasn't live, shows, and they needed somebody, and Greg Hamilton, who was the first host ring announcer, like, started it. He knew me from training in the ring, and when I had gotten injured the first time, I ring announced because I was like, I don't want to be sitting here doing nothing. Utilize me. I want to do something. And I don't know if it was the pageants or whatever, being articulate or whatever the case was. He said, you have a great voice. You have a great personality. And he literally took me under his wing and taught me everything about hosting and announcing. So I told them, they're like, well, we need somebody. We'd rather have somebody transition internally than bring somebody from the outside who doesn't know the industry.
Yeah.
Because then they're stuck learning 30 years of history that can take a while. And so I was like, sure, no problem. I love to do this, but I still want to wrestle and I still want to train in the ring. So it got to a point where I was doing everything. I was going into the PC in the morning, training, going to shows, hosting, announcing, going into the VO room, trying to learn to call matches, to learn psychology, going to school sessions, doing all that stuff. And then it got to a point where we hired another male announcer to the team. And I remember till this day, Sarah Motto and Matt Bloom, I could just feel them coming into the Performance Center. And I was in the female ring and I could just feel it. And I instantly just started crying. And they're like, why are you crying? I was like, because you're going to tell me I can't wrestle anymore and I can't train and this and that.
Oh,
they're
no.
like, how did you know? And I was like, I could just feel it. I could feel it. And I was so disappointed. That was, and it wasn't tears of sadness. It was out of anger and frustration because I felt like I never got to show what it was that I could do in the ring. And man, I'll never forget that day. Three, like it was about two and three quarters years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, they literally brought me to like the center ring for anyone that's been at the performance center. The female ring was like next to the cages. And then there's like the elite ring, which is like Terry Taylor's class was at the time in the center ring. And they brought me over and they were talking to me. And I was like, no, I don't want to go over there. I know why you're going to call me over there. Oh. So it was tough. I was like, and then I remember one time we had like a host announcer bumping seminar and they purposely didn't tell me about it because they already knew I could bump. I was like, come on, y'all. Like, I would love to. And I showed up anyhow.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was great. They're like, we already know you can do this. I'm like, then let me do it.
So was it at this point that they gave you the name Dasha Fuentes? Because I have a friend who was there and they basically gave him a list and said, here are approved.
Yeah, I came up. They actually told me, come up with, I had already been tinkering with names when I was wrestling and stuff like that. And I came up with a list of, I think about 10 names. And yeah. Dasha Fuentes was on the top because, I mean, my maiden last name was Gonzalez. And then my married last name is Corret. And it's funny because I have a Russian first name. And then my maiden last name obviously screams Puerto Rican, and then my married last name is Arabic. So I wanted a Spanish last name that could be easily pronounced in English or in Spanish so nobody would butcher it. And yeah. All the cool ones like Lillian Garcia, Garcia was taken, Mendez, Rosa, that one was taken.
Mysterio was taken.
That's not Mysterio, that's Misterio.
Sorry.
Have you ever heard his music? It goes, Rey Misterio. It doesn't say Rey Mysterio.
Well, sorry, I'm from Canada, so.
I know you're from Canada. That's why you're so nice.
Oh, well, thank you. You're very kind, too.
Thanks.
You're a very nice American.
I appreciate it. My mama would roast my buns if I wasn't.
So, did you send your list to them?
Yeah, sorry, signed up. Squirrel, dick. So Dasha Fuentes was on the top of the list, and they sent it back, and they're like, we like the first one. It's good to go. Because I was like, Dasha Fuentes or Fuentes. And Daisy Fuentes, the, you know, MTV VJ back in the day. Uh-huh, yeah. I don't know if y'all are old enough for that.
Sure.
I was like, I like her.
Yeah.
I think she's Cuban descent. But same thing. We're all family. We're Latinos. And that's where Fuentes came from.
Well, good. Because a lot of the backstage interviewers have the first name, last name.
Yeah.
Which is, I know that Vince is a big fan of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But luckily, my real name is Dasha, so that's the nice part. Like, even though I was like, oh, everyone knows Dasha, and it's so different, so.
What were the other names on this list?
I think
give us a couple.
I think I had, like, I feel like it was 200 years ago. I'm willing to say.
It was 2 3/4 years ago, actually.
And 25 hours and 57 minutes. I'm willing to say it was. I think like Sophia was on, Sophia something.
Dasha Sophia? Oh, Sophia would be
Sophia
your first
Sophia something. I know Valentina was on there.
Oh.
I wanted like really unique, cool names. I think like Asia was on there. So I don't remember, but I like Dasha. I'm weird. It's a weird name.
There's a chance they could look at your list and go, no.
No.
Sorry.
But it was funny because I was talking to Lana and obviously she had to go, she had to put Russian name. She's like, Dasha was actually on my list when she was submitting names and stuff like that. Yeah. I was like, well, I'm glad you didn't get it.
Well, you mentioned earlier how AEW is wrestling. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on AEW? We're a week away from Double or Nothing.
I'm actually really excited. And the cool part is like I got to work with a lot of the individuals that are no longer with WWE. So it's like, I'm like that big sister, not big sister, little sister, sister.
That's sister. It, just sister.
Sister, we're all sure. brothers. We're all brothers, whether you're guys or girls. We're all brothers. And so I'm very excited to see what they do. Having worked for WWE for such a long time, you get used to the certain formula and the way things are ran and done. So it's kind of the unknown. I don't know what to expect. And a lot of the talent that I may not be aware of, because I was in that WWE bubble for 5 years. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see the Young Bucks and see, Neville's real name, what their, his new
Pac.
Name, Pac. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I used to love interviewing him. It would be a splash fest. It's a good thing that he had great oral hygiene, because I literally would get spit in my eyeballs all the time, and I'd be like, Ben, come on, man. He's like, sorry. And I'm very excited to see his new persona.
Yeah.
As Pac. Because I've watched all the promos and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, I dig it, man.
It looks like the, you know, wrestlers are going to have some control here of their
Dr.
characters.
Dr. Baker, super excited to see her. Which, I was pre-dental. That's why I did the M&M. And I was going to be a dentist. I did a summer of learning at UF College of Dentistry. And that summer, I realized I love my teeth and not everyone else's.
You have very nice teeth.
Thank you. Yeah, it was my first car.
What?
It was my first car. So my mom, she saved up, I think, like $2,500.
Oh,
and she gave me the choice. She was like, you can either get a car or you can get the braces you always wanted your whole life. So my senior year, I was brace face. And my senior pictures have braces in them, but I got the clear ones. But
I got them late, too. Like, I got braces from 16 to 18. And my mom's like, you're going to need them. I'm like, I don't want braces.
But now look at us. Look at these.
But if I didn't have braces, I probably wouldn't have the career that I have now. Not that my teeth, I didn't have summer teeth or anything. You know what summer teeth are?
No.
Some are here, some are there. I didn't have summer teeth.
That's a neat slammer.
But if I didn't have the braces, I definitely wouldn't be on TV.
I had kind of like, my sister and brother used to tell me that I was Bugs Bunny because like my incisors, and like they were kind of stuck out a little bit. I had a little bit of an overbite, and I had like one tooth that was out of place. So I only had braces for a year and a half. So it wasn't too bad.
Oh, yeah.
But they're like, you're Bugs Bunny. I'm like, look at me now, guys. They used to tell me I was La Niñita de Lechero. I was a milkman's kid, and I was a middle kid. Why do you think I wanted to go into entertainment? I got middle kid syndrome over here.
Yeah.
You know, I got it all. I'm a lefty. Creative.
Yeah.
I think right.
Why can't you show off this personality on TV?
I don't know. I was being constrained. I dropped my
it's
microphone.
It's okay. It's fine.
I was in chains.
But like, how come someone like a Renee is able to show personality?
Because they trust her. It's all built on trust. And it's difficult for them to trust somebody that they don't know what they can do. Like I was saying, I didn't come from entertainment. So
I knew Renee in Toronto. She was hosting a TV show and interviewing musicians at the time. Then she went on to, you know, do a thing where she was interviewing wrestlers on her own show.
Yep.
So maybe they were just familiar with her.
And she had that, I guess you could say, that real, that documented body of work. I didn't have any of that stuff.
Right.
So I took no offense to it, you know, no offense from it whatsoever. But like I was telling you a little bit earlier, the first live TV shot I've ever done was the one that I unfortunately butchered and said, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guest, James Ellis, instead of Ellsworth. I was so nervous. I was like shaking, like you could see like the microphones like this. I was so nervous.
And the most nerve-wracking part about television is the waiting. So you've got your earpiece in and they're telling you 5 minutes out, 2 minutes out, 1 minute out, and you're just like, it's about to be real.
Yeah, and then it's like right before they're like,
10,
and go.
Nine, yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's supposed to say?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so nerve-wracking. And it was just like, sometimes I would get into my head too much. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, that earpiece, I wish I could just rip it out sometimes, because sometimes the comms would be off and you could hear the chatter that's going on. You're like, okay, well, I'm trying to like remember these lines I'm supposed to say and do this and that and have this expression and not hold the mic like in their face or like down here or wherever it was.
And I think people think that you're just going in with an idea of what you're gonna ask them. You've got an actual script.
No, and you have to. Like until they can trust you, you better go by what's on that script. It's written, it's been cleared. You better not go off path. You better not say one word, comma, punctuation incorrectly. And that was terrifying for me, unfortunately. And I started getting a little bit more comfortable, but I was kind of in that balance of like, okay, well, sometimes we can't trust her, it's inconsistent, it's this and that. But it's like, in order to get better at it is doing it, being thrown to the wolves. Maybe we could tailor the words a little bit differently or something like that. And my husband would joke around with me. He's like, your level of vocabulary is completely different from what is being written for you. So when you're trying to remember, and I understand, like, I'm playing this character, I have to do this, but I was playing the part of a journalist and I needed to work on my own.
Does every interview have to start with, ladies and gentlemen, my guest at this time?
That was one of the cool things that I can tell you that they were trying to change. They were trying to transition from no more ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guest. We were trying to do more ambush, kind of different placements. And one of the coolest things is if you have the chance to watch NXT, the interview style is completely different. Joe Bel Castro and the writers that are at NXT, they have truly tried to change that, to not make it as formal and this and that, more conversational. And you could see that that was starting to change on Raw and SmackDown. And that was making life a lot easier. But my favorite part was when I'd be in the male locker room trying to interview someone. And you're like, should you really be in here, lady? Creeper.
Speaking of creepers, with your large Instagram following, how often are the creepers sliding in your DMs?
Oh, they like to lurk. They like to lurk.
They're not just lurking.
I see you trying to slide in there. It ain't happening.
When you get the inappropriate comments on your photos.
Oh, I show them. I show them to Gabe, to my husband.
Then did you delete them? Because some people go way over the edge.
Luckily, thank goodness, I'd get, you know, the occasional inappropriate pic, and I'd just show him, he's like, that's a stock photo, that's not real. And I just laugh. It's funny because I love science and I view the body as science, so it doesn't faze me. It sounds really weird, but I'm like a clinician, like very clinical, like nothing bothers me. Like I'm that weirdo that's like, yeah, how are you feeling this month? Oh, I'm shedding my uterine lining, you know, like as gross as that sounds.
Yeah, it's true, I guess.
It's the truth. I'm very scientific when it comes to that stuff. Doesn't faze me. And so I just show him, we joke about it. We've been together since we were in high school, so we grew up together, half of our lives together, so it's pretty funny.
So in your goodbye video that you posted on Instagram, you said that we can now follow your journey. Well, where's your journey taking you?
It's taking me in many different directions. That's one of the cool part is when I was working with WWE, you were kind of constrained to your creativity. I'm a very creative individual. I fell in love with hosting, announcing, entertaining, all that stuff. But a lot of people don't know I grew up around racing. And I love crafting. Like I was the girl backstage that people would be like, hey, I got this shirt, will you cut it up and make it look cool? I'm like, give me the scissors. and I would do stuff. Like Bailey shirts at the beginning, like I would cut the fringes and make them very macho man, the sleeves and stuff like that. Like, yeah. I totally made that stuff happen. Like I think Dolph had like a cut up shirt for like something I did, a weaving stuff. Becky Lynch, the man, would always, she had the like cool shirts that she'd be like, hey, I have the shirt, it's a little too big, can you make it up? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I just, that's what I love doing. So I still love wrestling. It's not like I'm gonna go away from it, but I'd like to kind of start a YouTube channel or maybe go on the news or something and have like a crafting show, something with cars. Yeah. I'm really big into health and fitness, and I used to have my own personal training company prior to working with WWE. So people ask me all the time, as a gymnast, we wanna learn how you do your cool handstands that you've done all over the world. So I'd like to kind of maybe bring that all together, if having the opportunity to wrestle. I would love to do that. Having the opportunity to do TV or movies and things like that. Now I have the availability to do that stuff. But I'm...
The world's your oyster.
It is. It is my oyster, but I don't like oysters.
I don't either. Sorry, everyone that likes oysters.
Sorry, not sorry.
So, you know, if we sit down in my house again in a year, where do you think you'll be?
I'd love to be like, possibly like, doing stuff like on a larger network scale, reaching a greater audience, traveling, being able to host shows all over the world, but at my schedule, kind of, you know? I don't know.
The fact that you're bilingual. I can't even, like, I'm not
That's
even
okay.
monolingual.
That's okay.
is very helpful, obviously, in Florida.
Of course.
Especially here in South Florida.
And that was one of the cool things with, I feel like out of bringing it back to respect, anytime we'd go to a different country, I'd try to learn the vernacular for that country or learn how to say hello, goodbye, thank you, things like that. So like when I remember I'd bug Shinsuke, like, Shinsuke, hey, hey, Shinsuke, how do you say this? And so he taught me, like, when we went to Japan, like, konnichiwa, watashi wa namae wa Dasha. And, like, I learned, like, haraheta, unakosita, like, kawaii, which is cute, and, like, just learn words here and there. So I always tried to, when I was the host, because there would always be two of us, when I was a SmackDown, it would be Greg Hamilton and I. Greg would do the primarily the ring announcing, but we'd flip-flop back and forth sometimes, but I'd always host and come out. So I always like to say, like, you know, hello, good evening, welcome to WWE Live in their native tongue. So whether it was Italian, French, je parle un peu de français. I in high school, I decided I'd love to learn a little bit of French since I already know Spanish and English. And I just try to immerse myself in different cultures. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Just out of respect for that country.
Yeah. Well, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and it's great
to
see that you're not a robot.
I am not.
You are not the Dasha bot.
Nope.
Since you're not Dasha Fuentes anymore, where can people find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram with the handle Dasha Corette. Same thing on Twitter or my YouTube channel.
Has it started?
It's going to happen.
Well, because I'm going to post this soon, and then we can tell people to subscribe.
You can follow, you can subscribe, but there's nothing yet because I got some good content coming for you guys.
So what's the channel called right
now? It's going to be Mas Dasha because whenever we were in South America, they'd always be like, queremos Mas Dasha, which is we want more Dasha.
Oh, okay.
So, Mas Dasha.
All right, we'll put the link below. You'll get some subscribers. And thank you.
Thank you. Hug it out.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
So fun, right? Thanks to Dasha for that chat. Thanks to you for listening. If you like this, it would mean a lot to me. If you left a review and let people know about the Chris Van Vliet Show, please share it with everybody. After listening to that whole conversation, it kind of feels like a crime that Dasha Fuentes wasn't allowed to show off her personality on TV because she has so much of it. I wish her all the best in whatever it is that she moves on to now in her career. Big thanks to Green Roads for sponsoring the CVV show. Use the code CHRIS15 to save 15% at greenroadsworld.com. Also, thanks to Samson Technologies for the gear that we are podcasting on. Podcasting's been fun. Like, we should have done this a while ago. I love it. So thanks for being with us on this, and we will see you on the next one.